Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. I probably should have said this when I began this sermon series a few weeks ago. There are really two types of sermons that we preach. One is probably the one you're most familiar with, which is expository sermons, and that's typically where we'll take a passage of text and we will unlock that text and we'll preach a message specifically on that text. And that's typically the majority of what we do when it comes to preaching. There's another type of sermon type, which is really what we've been doing so far this year, and those are called topical sermons. And that's where we take a topic and we try to accumulate much of what the Bible will have to say about that topic. So if you've noticed any difference in, and some of you may not have noticed, but if you've noticed any difference in what we typically do in preaching messages, that's the reason, is these are more topical sermons as we discuss these spiritual disciplines. And so while I may have you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I may only make reference to that because I'm going to reference a lot of different scriptures in talking about our topic for today. But as I have been doing, I want to remind you really what the purpose of this sermon series is about. It's about hearing from God. Now, that may sound oversimplified, so let me put it to you like this, and I've made this statement before, but this is my goal. This should be our goal as believers in Jesus Christ, but my goal is to be moment by moment led by the Spirit of God. I want to be tuned into that low whisper that is so often missed in the hustle and bustle of life. Then I want to respond to the Spirit's leading in obedience and faith. That's what I want my life to look like. I want to be connected to God in such a way that I'm moment by moment. Now, that sounds like a high and lofty goal, and it really is. It's hard to get to that point, but that should be our goal. That should be what we are striving for. And so talking about these spiritual disciplines is about putting us in a place where we can hear from God. We're busy. You're busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. I was talking to somebody yesterday. We were at a family birthday party, and this is my sister-in-law's mother, and she wanted to engage in a conversation, and several times, over and over again, she said to me, "Well, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to go to church." I thought, well, let's pull out my calendar and your calendar, and we'll take a look and see who's. But the fact of the matter is not that she doesn't have time to go to church. She doesn't do what? She doesn't make time to go to church. Because we're all busy. You're busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. And the spiritual disciplines are about putting ourselves in a position where we can hear from God. Now, we spent the first four sermons after the introductory sermon, we spent the first four sermons talking about inward disciplines. And what are those? Those are meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. And what those four inward disciplines are about really getting down to what Mike Holloway, I referred to the guy from North Richland Hills who won Survivor, the reality television program. He described going through Survivor and how that process, each of those challenges, it says it basically breaks you down. It gets you down to your base self. And that's what the inward disciplines do. They break us down to our base self. And so they put us in that position. They put us in a ripe state to hear from God. And then as we hear from God, we begin to manifest these in the outward disciplines. And last week, and I'm so pleased to tell you that I've actually heard from some of you about last week's topic. In fact, let me encourage you, if something speaks to you, please tell me about it so I can tell y'all about it. Because I don't have any doubt that God's working through this. And who knows what last week's topic was? Gee, how about the person that told me that it had an effect on them? Y'all just call it out. Simplicity, right? John, I'm talking about you. It was simplicity. And some of you have been talking about how that has impacted you, and you're starting to think about things a little differently, right? I mean, we live in the most affluent nation that the world has ever known, and we're consumed by things, and then we begin to realize, well, I mean, how much do I really need? And so we talk about simplifying our lives. Well, today, the topic for today is solitude. Now, I know what you're thinking. When you hear that word solitude, and some of you think, man, I just would like a little solitude. I just want to get away from everybody. I want to get out in the middle of nowhere. I don't want my spouse around. I don't want my children around. I just want to get away. But that's not what we mean by solitude. Solitude is not being alone per se. Solitude, really inner solitude, is about being with God. You can have solitude and you can be surrounded by thousands and thousands of people. By the way, you can be surrounded by thousands and thousands of people and you can be as lonely as the person who's out by themselves on a faraway island. So solitude is not about just being alone. It's about being with God. You know, the Lord Jesus knew something about solitude. He also knew something about loneliness. I want you to think about Jesus hanging on the cross. You have to consider that the Son of God, throughout all eternity, even when he became the incarnate Son, had never for one moment throughout all eternity had been disconnected from the Father. There was never a moment where God the Father and God the Son weren't in perfect union with one another, but there was a moment on the cross when Jesus, when he bore the sins of the world, took them totally alone. Habakkuk 1:13 says, "You," talking about God, "you who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong." There was a moment, we believe, when God the Father turned his face away from God the Son. Throughout all eternity, there had never been a disconnection, but here in this moment, Jesus understood loneliness like no one ever has before. He knew what it meant to be alone, but that's not the same thing as solitude. Jesus knew about solitude. You see, he possessed an inward solitude, evidence manifested throughout his life, and we see it many times over and over in the scriptures. It tells us that he began his ministry by doing what? He spent 40 days in the desert alone. It says that when he chose the 12 in Luke chapter 6, it says he spent the night alone in the desert hills. When he received the news that John the Baptist had died, he says he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place. After the feeding of the 5,000, it said that Jesus went up into the hills by himself. Following a long night of work in Matthew chapter 1, before the morning, it says he rose and went out to a lonely place. When the 12 had returned from their preaching and healing mission, Jesus instructed them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place." Following the healing of the leper, Jesus, it says, withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. When he took the three disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were there alone as he prepared for his most holy and high work. It says that Jesus sought the solitude of the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, in some cases, Jesus may have been by himself, but he was never alone. He had an inner solitude. So solitude, and let's be clear about this, solitude is not about being alone. It's about being with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a problem sometimes when I get alone. And the problem is I talk too much. And yes, to myself. Some people, I've seen this meme going out there recently, says, "You ever come across me, I'm self-employed. If you ever come across me and I'm talking to myself, I'm just having a business meeting." But when we are in solitude, the thing we need to remember is solitude must go together with silence. Silence. Now, let me clarify this again. Solitude, I said, was not about just being alone. Solitude is about being with God. Silence is not talking per se. Silence is about listening. You see, that's the problem we have today. We got way too much talking going on. The purpose, Richard Foster says, the purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and to hear. We need to be silent so that we can listen. Listen, the key to this, though, is control. Think about this. Think about all of the stimuli. Think about all the things that are coming at you at any given moment. Rarely do you drive by anymore anybody that's not either talking on their phone or, heaven forbid, they're breaking the law and texting while they're driving. Talking and texting. They're either doing that or they're listening to something. You know, we're listening to all sorts of talk shows, radio, television, podcasts, audio books. There's this constant ongoing noise in our life. Do you realize that last year, people sent 8 trillion text messages? 8 trillion. Constantly, our phones are going off and buzzing here and buzzing there and beeping here and beeping there. And there's a call from this person. There's an email from this person. And we're constantly engaged such that we are never able to stop and listen. But the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, tells us that the key is control. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says there is a time to keep silent, and there is a time to speak. The same wise man in the book of Proverbs tells us, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, in verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 3, and Proverbs 17 and verse 27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And what does James tell us in James 1:19? Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The CFO that I work for at Elbit Systems is the most calm man I know. I've rarely, in fact, only recently, did I ever see him get the mildestly upset. And we talked about it afterwards, and I said, Cletus, I said, he'll be so proud to know that he was an illustration, by the way. I'll tell him this tomorrow. I said, I've never seen you get upset before, but you raised your voice and you were very direct with the folks that we were just dealing with. And he says, well, it's kind of on purpose. You see, the person who always talks up here and always yells and always does this, you don't hear him anymore because you just learned to tune it out. He says, but I've spent my life intentionally staying at this level so that when I raise my voice, it gets people's attention. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. Oh, King Solomon knew that. He says in Proverbs 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. But the key is control. We talk too much. And we have to be careful because this thing in our mouth, the tongue, is very dangerous. James tells us in James chapter 3 that the man who does not stumble with his tongue is a perfect man, and though it's a small member, it boasts of great things. He says, it's like a fire starter. He says, with our mouths we bless our Lord and Father, and then we curse the people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. You've heard it said before, and it's true. There's a reason why God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. You should listen twice as much as you talk. And Catherine says, you're preaching to the choir. And our listening is not to be to everybody else. We should mostly be listening to God. Solitude goes with silence, and silence is not about not talking. It is about listening to God. And here's what the writer of Ecclesiastes says, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. I think most of us would say and understand that our prayer lives are most of us doing the talking. It should be more of us doing the listening. You know what I found to be true over the years is people who use many words are normally trying to justify something. We feel like we always have to justify ourselves. Our children do this all the times, right? They'll talk and talk and talk and try to justify some behavior, and sometimes we do that as adults. I found this to be true over the years as pastor. You will have people that will say things about you that simply are not true. Now you have a choice. You can fight back, or you can turn it over to the one who fights for you. You see, silence is also about trust, about trusting God. We need to be silent. It's well said. In fact, Richard Foster says that the tongue is a thermometer. It gives us our spiritual temperature. It is also a thermostat. It regulates our spiritual temperature. We need to get alone. That doesn't mean to get away from everybody, but we need to get alone with God, and not so that we can tell God about all of our problems, so that we can listen to God tell us about who He is and what He has done for us. I'm going to warn you, though. You get real serious about some of this stuff, you'll experience what St. John of the Cross talked about in The Dark Night of the Soul. In fact, Dallas Willard, Renovation of the Heart, talks about this as well. It talks about that transformation that takes place. Listen, if you really get serious about the Christian life, if you really get serious about these inward disciplines, if you really get serious about these outward disciplines, what you're going to find is there's a real disconnect. The real disconnect is you're going to see God in His holiness and in His fullness, and you're going to see yourself in your sin, and you're going to see that there's a big difference, and you're going to go through that dark night of the soul. But don't be afraid of the dark night. Know that God loves you, and God wants to work in you His perfect will. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when the scraping and the clawing and the, you know, that metal on metal sound, or that feeling you get when you hear somebody scrape their fingernails across a chalkboard. That's what it's like. And I'm going to warn you, if you get serious about this, you're going to go there. But don't be afraid. God is working in you. He wants to change us. He wants to make us more like Jesus. We were talking about this in Sunday school class. And I could sit here and give you a long list of things that I think are wrong with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I can tell you one that I think is a big issue. You see, I think we've forgotten how holy God is and how sinful we are. You see, the more we understand the holiness of God and the more we understand the sinfulness of man, and the more we'll appreciate what Jesus did for us. In that moment of separation from the Father, we'll appreciate that there was truly nothing we could do to save ourselves, that there was truly nothing we could do to bridge that gap, that there was truly nothing that we could do. We were totally depraved and helpless. And it would change the way we live. We have got to get out of this Western comfortable Christianity and appreciate the grace of God. And the more we appreciate the grace of God, the more we will live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me leave you with some practical help on this topic of solitude. Some practical steps that you can do. First of all, look for the little solitudes. I did that this morning. I have this tendency when it's time to get up, and I wake up early. Most of you know this. My tendency is to jump out just to get going. But look for the little solitudes. Just lie in bed for a few minutes. You say, well, if I do that, I'll go back to sleep. Well, maybe you needed to. But look for the little solitudes. Lie in bed. Begin your day just in a moment of quiet prayer before God. What about when you're driving in the car? You know, I intentionally don't turn on the radio. Rarely will you, maybe during football season, I'll turn it on a little bit. But rarely do I ever have anything going in the car. I like to drive in silence. Now, it doesn't help my road rage, but we're working on that too. But look for the little solitudes of life. Find for yourself a quiet place that you can go. Maybe that's a garden. Maybe there's a park, a little nook in a park somewhere. Maybe you've got a patio that you like to sit out on. Or, you know, I was talking about this also in Sunday school. You know, the Pope in his papal apartment, he's got his own private chapel. And if Catherine will let me someday, I'm going to build my own little private chapel in our house. Just a place to go, a little quiet place. So look for the little solitudes. Look for a quiet place. Do this. Try to go a day without talking. I dare you. You might want to warn you. Shh. No talking. That was timely, wasn't it? You might want to warn a few people ahead of time that you're going to do this, but try to go a day without talking. Take a retreat, a brief retreat. You know, go away for a few hours. Go away and get apart. Don't leave your phone behind. Guess what? It'll be there when you get back. Leave your phone behind. Go on a retreat, just a few hours. Maybe it's, you know, don't come home right after work and tell your wife or tell your spouse or your husband. Tell them you're going to go off for a couple hours and just go somewhere. And then maybe do this. Maybe take an extended retreat. Go off for a few days. Listen, I've told my accountability partner, which is my friend from high school who's with the Navigators, I told him I've been thinking about this for years and I've never done it. But by God's grace, I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to find a couple of days at least that I can get away by myself and just get alone with God. You know, He wants to be with you more than you can ever imagine. He wants to spend time with you. I mean, He loves you so much He sent His Son to die for you. He didn't just die for you so that He could get you saved and just let you go on about your life. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to hear from you, and He wants you to hear from Him. Solitude. Quietness. Silence. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, this is a moment of solitude. This is a moment you alone with God. Don't think about the person next to you. Don't think about what's coming up next. Right there in the quietness of your heart, make this a little solitude moment. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, use this moment of solitude to make this the day of salvation. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins and He rose again so that you could have eternal life. Man is sinful. God is holy. Jesus is the way. If right there in the quietness of your heart you would open it to Him this morning and just say, Lord Jesus, just call out to Him right there. In that moment of solitude, cry out to Him and say, Lord Jesus, today I'm turning from my sin. Today I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that You came and died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that You rose again. And if you would pray that prayer and believe it in your heart, the Bible says that you have been born again. Don't base it on your feelings. Trust in Him this morning. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your Word that is truth. God, help us to be more like You. Without getting into the specifics and all of the disciplines, God, the ultimate goal is to be more like You. To moment by moment hear that still small voice that speaks to us every day. Father, I pray for anyone in here today who is making a decision to follow You for the very first time, God, that today would be the day of salvation for them. That in trust and faith, they would come to You today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.